Hey, everybody, welcome to Addicted Love. It's your co-host, Pastor Chaz Ware here. We're so thankful for you to jump on here on the radio airwaves with us today. We have a great topic that we're going to discuss. Considering the season that we're in, we're going to discuss thankfulness, what it means to be thankful, and the essence of basking in that thankfulness when God does something for you. And also, we can discuss the struggle before that, right? We've all been there before. We've all had those moments where we felt like we weren't going to be able to even breathe again. We felt like we weren't even going to be able to overcome the issues and the trials and tribulations that are facing before us. But when the Lord, hallelujah, brings us through it, we have a thankful spirit, gratitude unto him for what he's doing. So we thank you once again for getting with us here on Addictive Love. Our host, Robert Gould, is out. Once again, I'm here, Chaz Ware, pastor of 2x2 Ministry, hijacking Addictive Love. We want to continue to thank our sponsor, EKG Environmental. We thank EKG Environmental for sponsoring our show here today. So we're thankful. We got our guest that was with us last week, one of them, Pastor Wendell Stanley. How you doing today, bro?
Doing pretty good, man. Thank you again for the invite.
Amen. Amen. Y'all see what he said? Thanks for the invite. Amen. Just thankful to be included, y'all. You know, anyone out there who's been included in God's service and God's praise and God's worship, you should just be thankful, right? It's an opportunity just to... It's a blessing just to praise and worship him altogether, but then to be able to be a part of his service and to be a vessel unto the Lord, an instrument to make a pleasing sound, we are certainly thankful today. We're going to lift up a word of prayer today. We thank Cam, once again, our producer here at KCRO Christian Radio 660 AM. We're going to get into a word of prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for another day's journey. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up. Thank you, Lord, for those ears that are hearing and those eyes that see your glory, Lord, and walk according to what you have for them and not their own. We step back today, Lord, and allow you to take the wheel, to lead us to the destination in which you would have for us. Give us the discernment and the insight to be able to stand against the wiles of the evil one and to not allow any of his tricks or his lies to deceive us from the truth. We just are so thankful to be in your presence. That is not only the topic for today, Lord, but one that we must keep in our back pocket to always pull out whenever need be, whenever we're sad, whenever we're down, whenever we feel the pain of the world, whenever we feel the burdens and the heaviness of the sinful things that occur around us and the chaos in this world, we can just remain thankful that you're always blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, while I was sitting there praying, bro, Brother Stanley, I was thinking about something. You know, when the children of Israel were in bondage and they were delivered out of that bondage, there must have been such a form of thankfulness as they were walking away from Egypt. I can only imagine the feeling that they had to turn back and not to look as Lot's wife, but just to look back and say, hey, what is God about to do now? You know, I'm just wondering what he is about to do. You know, all the pain, all the stories that they heard, their ancestry of the slavery and all the bondage and the pain, the degradation that they went through just to receive God's hand on their life, surely must have been a blessing. You can just imagine what they were going through, my brother. What do you think about that, man?
I think so, but the greater perspective is that first generation will end up dying in the wilderness because they were looking in their rear mirror too much. But I'm sure that next generation of children of Israel who went into the promised land with Joshua and Caleb were more grateful because they had been trained from, and I don't know if all of them were born in the wilderness, they were born before they came out. They were young enough to accept a new way other than what they had known in Egypt, whereas that current generation ended up dying in the land. In fact, there were incidents where they murmured and complained and sinned against God, committed fornication, and thousands of them died in one instance. It's kind of a tale of the tape where our hearts are.
Amen.
There are treasures also. We need to learn to be grateful for the eternal treasure, not on earth. Praise God.
Amen. Well, thankfulness comes in many different levels. You know, I was got a couple of scriptures we want to discuss here today and just overall talk about being thankful. You know, like to me, I was looking at Psalm 100 and it really jumped out to me in verse 4, but I'm going to read all five of those verses for the hearing of our listeners as well as you and I. And Psalm 100 reads, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. You know, I was thinking, I said, make a joyful noise to the Lord. I believe thankfulness gives you a shout that's different than any other type of shout. You know, there's been so many things that I've been delivered from through faith in Christ Jesus over the years, and I am thankful for those moments. I don't let them pass me by. I don't take them for granted. I'm thankful when I get over the hump. And the reason why I say that is I've been that man in Matthew chapter 8. I've been that leper. I've been the individual as a young man where there's a death certificate already written with my name on it. I've been that individual that has made foolish acts, that have done foolish things. And the reason why I was laying there sick in my own sin was because of my own actions. I couldn't blame my mother. I couldn't blame my father. I couldn't look to no one to take my place, right? But when I look at what my Lord and Savior did, he took that sin. He pardoned all those wrongdoings that I did. All of my guilt and shame was taken away through my faith in him. And when I look up, just like that leper, when he saw Jesus afar off, he had already began to be blessed. He already began to be healed. So he was thankful.
Glory.
And I think about that all the time, you know, how wretched we are as human beings, how much harm we do to each other and one another. But yet then again, when God brings us through it, we should be in awe of his presence and who he is. And Psalm 100 kind of gives me that joy. You know, whenever I read that scripture, I think about the thankfulness that he deserves for what he's done. And I just want to ask you, Ed, I know you've been through a lot in your ministry. You have a testimony which you've given here before, and it was powerful. But when you think about that Psalm 100 where David was, or just being in thankfulness unto the Lord, what comes out of your spirit?
Well, I think when you look at David and how he wrote, he didn't just tell us the good parts. He also covered the low points too, like in Psalm 51 when he shares his contrition, repentance, after the Bathsheba incident and the adultery and the murder. But he shares transparently. But he also shares his struggles about when he's under attack by perceived enemies, both known and unknown. And he cries out to God as a refuge, as a defense, as a buckle and a shield. But if we look at why I believe God called him a man after his own heart, it's because he was transparently open and utterly dependent on God in a personal relationship. So even when he was complaining and begging for defense from God, he was rejoicing in the fact that God was not only able, but he would. And he trusted him. And he left his concerns there beyond his own devices. He left his case there at the throne of grace. And so we have those 150 some odd songs. And Psalms 100, that's 2/3 into his whole discography, so to speak, because they were songs meant to be sang.
Mm-hmm.
So when he committed these lyrics to the chief musicians and the psalmists, there was what's called a Tabernacle of David. We see that in Acts chapter 15, where they had these musicals, I would imagine, where they worshiped God. And you might recall early in David's ministry as a king, he got in trouble with his first wife that was Saul's daughter that he earned as a prize when he killed the giant. But when she saw him dance unto the Lord to the point where he was embarrassing and out of his clothes, how naked he got, I don't know if he just revealed his undergarments or whatever. That's beyond the point. But she was indignant about
his praise and his thankfulness.
Praise.
Yeah.
But he was totally in the moment, and that ended that relationship for the most part and left him to a point where he was very open to concubines and everybody else, and eventually Bathsheba ended up having Solomon, who's the one who carried on the throne. But Dave was all about God and God's refuge, and he was very transparent in his human experience, which— And I don't know, Chaz, I see you. You're transparent. You're always talking about where your struggles are, but I never see you go anywhere but to an attitude of gratitude, because your determination is to overcome whatever hardship it is. And God does chasten those who he loves. And we who love him back, we're aware of where our weaknesses are, where our struggles are, where our failures are, and we don't hide that.
Well, you know, my brother, I just want to share this with you. You know, August 16, 2009, that was the first word that the Lord gave me to preach. But he chastens those in whom he loves.
Praise God.
that I believe was the beginning of, and you want to put this on many different levels, many different words I could use, but that was the beginning of really understanding what it means to be thankful.
Right.
I wasn't in the best place, but I was certainly where God needed me to be at that time in my life. I had some ups and downs, some hurdles and some disasters that I had been able to overcome, and I knew it. It wasn't no one that pulled me through the fire but the Lord.
Praise
I felt like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I felt personally that fourth man that was in the fire with me was certainly the Son of God.
Right.
I felt the presence of God surrounding me. I felt his atmosphere. I felt his yoke,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was lighter than what I was trying to pull on my own.
Right.
Everything I was trying to pull, I couldn't even seem to go in the right direction, but his yoke was light. It was easy. And when I began to see him prove himself, thankfulness became more and more easier right. to me. Like, I do go through a lot, and I am transparent, and the reason why I am is because I'm open. I feel like, and those of you out there listening, I'm real when I pray to God. I'm real when I talk to my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Why? Because I serve a real God. I am a child of a real, true, and living God. I am the church. I am a living organism. I am not dead. Though I die every day and still live through Christ, I am still a living organism.
Praise
and God. And I want to walk in that manner, you know. And David lets us know that about himself. As he was a man after God's own heart, David was a man who was alive.
Right.
And he was transparent. He was open. I liken to a lot of the prophets, the minor and the major prophets who showed you and I and others listening here on Addictive Love, the way to live our life, the way mm-hmm. to mirror ourselves is when we fall, we don't just lay there. We don't lay in our own feces. We become prodigal sons and we come back unto the Father and we allow him to open up his arms with love and to welcome us back. And then we are thankful when we receive the gifts and the blessings that he has for us.
Amen.
David, like you were saying, David was singing. This was a song of praise. So I believe that where we're going, Holy Spirit is leading us that when you are thankful, you're going to praise.
Right.
You know, I mean, I believe when you're thankful, you're going to worship. When you're thankful, you're going to praise. When you're thankful, you're going to speak God's word, and you're going to allow and you're going to herald that, proclaim that to the rooftops so that others can feel the same thankfulness or the same feeling that you have going on in your life.
Praise the Lord. You know, Paul picks up this theme over in 1 Thessalonians 5.
1 Thessalonians 5. All right.
And I'm looking at verse 16 starters. He says, rejoice evermore. Two word verse. Number 17 says, pray without ceasing. And in verse 18, he says, in line with our theme this morning, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He goes on to say, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Verse 20, he says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And in verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. So this whole passage reminds us that even though we're in this world, we're not of this world.
Amen.
And this is a list of spiritual weapons that we have to war with to maintain our attitude of gratitude. Verse 16, 18 kind of gives us the breadth and the width of it. It's summarized in everything, not some things.
Everything.
Not on a good day.
Mm.
Everything. On bad days too. On the worst days. Everything give thanks. Because hardship is the chastening hand of the Lord, like you just paraphrased, and we talked about it in Hebrews chapter 12. The Holy Spirit is said by Christ back over, and I think it's in John 16, that when he comes, he will convict us of sin, judgment, and righteousness. Yeah, he's a comforter. Yeah, he's leading God in all the truth, but he's also there to refine us and to burn out what doesn't belong. And,
amen.
And one of the ways, if you think about how they refine silver, they place that silver into the hottest part of the flame in order to take off the dross and everything that doesn't belong. And so for God to get out of us, as a potter gets out of us, what he needs out of us to be a vessel of honor, he needs to burn off everything that we've picked up in this world. And the Bible says here in 18 of 1 Thessalonians 5, we're to be thankful in everything, even that refining process.
Hallelujah.
We're being singed with the hottest part of the flame, and that's a Holy Ghost fire.
Amen.
So all fire is not bad fire.
Come on.
For those of us who cook, my son did some apple turnovers last night, and I'm going to tell you, McDonald's just lost a job in my life. That's the best apple turnover. So he's been going to the internet and looking at recipes, and he'll just go in there and fix it that day. He did some donuts the other day, last night, with apple turnovers. But it was very good. I can only wonder what that might have not tasted like, or what it would have tasted like if he didn't use fire. So thank God for that gas stove and for somebody who put it to good use.
Amen. You know, Pastor Wendell spoke something about going through the fire and how Silver is placed in some of the hottest moments. You know, to those out there who are going through something, you know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving soon, y'all, and a lot of us, this is a hard time. You know, the main thing about addictive love is let those out there in the community know that someone loves them. The reason why we're on the airwaves, KCRO, is to let somebody know that we love them. The reason why our sponsor, EKG Environmental, sponsors this station and sponsors this show is because they want someone to hear about Christ. They want someone to overcome the hardships that they're dealing with in life. And when you are in that fire, when you lost a loved one close to this day, when you don't have family, if you're going through some of the most terrible times, your finances aren't the way where they need to be, going through that fire, and I'm talking more or less about being in the most hurtful times, as you mentioned, with the scripture saying being thankful in all things. It is difficult for some people to find that. But the reason why we bring the gospel, the reason why we love on people has been a light that is not hidden but a candle upon a hill so that everyone can see, is so that those who are out there who do not know of Christ can find that same love and that same joy that we have, even in the midst of turmoils. We have men's groups that we come together with, and we as men lay out our burdens and some of the things that we deal with every day. But through it all, we're still thankful.
Amen.
You know, and I've been there before. I've been there where anger and violence toward another was my way to overcome some of the hardships. I've been there where at the end of the bottle, I couldn't wait to open up another one because my thankfulness wasn't holy. My body was shamed, and I didn't mind shaming my own temple of God. I didn't mind hurting my own self because I wasn't necessarily truly thankful.
Amen.
I was more or less pitying this time and this age that I was living in, and my body was not aware. So and I just want to ask you this, when someone's going through this time right now, Pastor, one who's a teacher and one who's on the forefront on the streets, and many don't know, but Pastor Wendell assists on a discipleship house and does street ministry, revivals along with myself, and he's planted churches from down south up to the Midwest. He's done many different things. When you find someone in the ministry that is in that moment of unthankfulness and they're doing harm to themselves and to others, what is the main component of the Word of God or Scripture that the Holy Spirit leads you to allow them to look not at their pain, their sorrow, their heartache, but to look to the Lord for restoration and regeneration and just overcoming?
I do appreciate that assist, because what we often mistake as preachers or teachers of the gospel or ministers or leaders or people in the Lord is what we just talked about is God's refining fire by way of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I think we're mistaken if we assume that we should be a part of that fiery furnace that refines people. In fact, the Bible says when it talks about his bride, that he will wash all the blemishes out of his bride with the water of the word. He says in concerning us in John 7, that when he talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit reflects out of us, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
So the idea is to water. Some plant, others water. God gives increase. For us to assume that we're the one that gives the increase, I think it's mistaken. God does that. So what we need to learn to do is that all scripture is God breathed, is inspired by God for correction, doctrine, reproof, and instruction in the Lord, that the man of God be thoroughly furnished. So when we run into another believer, our job is to add to them, to water the seed that's already there, not to correct, redirect, or refine, to burn up, not to come down too heavy. So even when we're speaking harshly to a fellow brother, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We're getting out of our position. And I think that's why Jesus said, don't judge and you will not be judged. We can't afford the judgment that we render against our own case. If we look back in
the
mirror.
Say that again.
We cannot afford the verdicts that we're passing out. So we need to slow down and humble ourselves. And when the Bible talks about restoring somebody who you see overtaking the fault, it says you have to do so meekly, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We're human also. And so to avoid the appearance of evil, we have to approach softly, humbly, meekly, so that Christ could use us to water and to give that, quench that thirst of that other person. And then other than that, we're branches on the vine. Our job is to abide. That's a passive activity.
Amen.
It's not an active or aggressive activity. So the word pictures and parables throughout the scriptures are there for us. And in that, we maintain an attitude of gratitude, and we invite them into a mode of rejoicing. Even if they're going through struggle, we can reassure them that this will pass because God is the one molding and shaping and Amen. Refining your life, that he is the one that's pruning you.
Let me say this, and I know you probably weren't done, but I want to kind of add this point. From what you can say is when someone's going through the darkest points of their life, we as our vessels should be thankful that we're even given this position to speak this gospel.
Absolutely. Right.
And we shouldn't walk in a stance or stand in a way of superiority as if we're better than somebody else. But we see that today. We see people, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this boldly to our listeners out there. The people that are being driven away from the body of believers are done by other believers.
Oftentimes.
Oftentimes. You can either live through that or you can either see it.
Right.
Either way, you've experienced it. You've either heard about it
right.
or you've seen it for yourself or you've lived it. You're walking through it. And that's the main reason why a couple months back we were talking about church hurt.
Right.
Those of you who have overcome that, we're so thankful. And we want you to sit right now in your homes. We want you to be driving your vehicle and think about the things that you're thankful for. Think about the family and all the things that you've been able to overcome through your faith in Christ Jesus. But we also want people to not look at themselves greater than another, because we know that if we look at someone and begin to judge them, we're clearly not noticing the beam that we have in our own eye.
Right.
When their sin or their act their act of sin is lower than ours, is less than ours.
Right. Well, it could be equal or greater, but they both get the same wages as death.
Yeah.
So
clearly.
And to point the finger, all right. So in that regard, our goal is to undergird and to lift them up. And if we believe God has strengthened our hands as spiritual men to restore them, we're going to do that with attitude of gratitude, not be condescending. And we're not going to be prejudiced on the matter as if we could say something and they could repent right there when we say it. But repentance itself, and for some people, it takes years, decades, a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at Abraham. Abraham gets called away from his idolatrous father and family, and he takes his nephew with him.
Amen.
And then later on, his wife says, hey, go take my handmaid. I'm not going to have a baby for you. He does that too and raises an enemy against his own promised seed. So it took 25 years from the promise being given by God to when he had Isaac from Sarah.
I mean, take a look at and like I said, we're being open. You know,
right.
Those of you who may have heard, I've spoke about this recently about being delivered from excessive anger. You know, I mean, been preaching the gospel since August of 2009 and just now being delivered from something that's been traumatizing me since childhood, young right. adulthood. Right?
Right.
So, I mean, as you were saying, being with the Lord is a process. But you got to keep pushing forward.
Right.
You got to be thankful that you're in it. You know, I'm not upset or regretting the fact that I'm just now at this age receiving that deliverance. No, I'm thankful.
Right.
Because now I have my heart and my feet prepared to go in a different direction because I've been delivered from that.
Right.
Now
Amen.
I can smile and have a greater sense of joy. I have a greater sense of thankfulness. And as you said, a more attitude for gratitude.
Right. Right. Right.
Right? So the thing that we do is, ladies and gentlemen, here listening, we want you to be thankful for the good times and thankful for the bad times. We want you to turn all of your fears into victory, all of your doubts into assurance, and to confirm the things that God has already done for you, to be thankful for the things that he's about to do. No one has a pampered free life. And if you do, a lot of times, most of those people are living in hell in their own mind. You know, you got money, you don't know what to do. You're in drugs. You're addicted to sexual immorality. You're addicted to fame and fortune and being the applause of man and persuading men to love you versus loving Christ. It's all these different things that can put a man into a sense of being lost.
Right.
But those of us who have accepted Christ and have seen him for ourselves, exemplifying himself within us, through us, we're thankful. Just give you a few moments, Pastor Wendell, to let us know and let the listeners out there in Addictive Love know, what are you truly thankful for and what does thankfulness truly mean to you as we have a few minutes left on this show?
Well, first and foremost, I am thankful for Almighty God who sent his son to die for me.
Amen.
Outside
Amen.
Of that, I would be utterly lost. I don't even know if I'd still be breathing because my life was so turbulently twisted up as a kid, the environment I grew up in. So I know his grace sustained and gave me an opportunity to have a life, and now here I'm at age 55. I thank him for my beautiful wife, Alyssa, and who she is. Not only is one of my best friends besides Christ, but also a wonderful mother to my kids, and as an Iron Maiden who runs our home, manages our home, and just a confidant that's reliable. All right. I thank God for each one of my kids who are doing well. For the churches that God has given me a chance to labor among. And I don't, some people say, well, I planted churches or he planted churches, that organization planted. No, we all participate. God does the planting, the cultivating, the harvesting. We just labor in his vineyard. So I thank God for that. Then I want to thank him for the businesses he's given me to participate in, that I know where I can go and trade and barter to get what I need, so, and oftentimes get enough to share with people around me. So I'm just grateful for the fellowship of the brethren, strong men and irons in the faith like you, Chaz, who I can count on you. If I go to your feed line on Facebook, you're going to have something on there that's going to stir up the faith and remind us of who God is and how we should walk mercifully and humbly and contritely in him. So just being surrounded with confidence in the Lord that sharpen me and keep me honest and earnest in the Lord. And then opportunities like this. I'm speaking out here across the radio broadcast. I don't know how far this audience goes, but these words hopefully will bring hope.
Hallelujah.
And bring gratitude to hearts out there over time. And so those seeds I sow to the Spirit and let God give a harvest. So I'm thankful for being here today, not just for this season, because we know it's Thanksgiving season, but in everything that means to me every day.
Amen.
Attitude of gratitude.
Amen. You know, before we go ahead and get up out of here, I want to thank our sponsor once again, EKG Environmental. But I also just want to share something. You know, when I was a kid, I used to sit there and be all involved in so many different holidays. Those were my things a little bit, you know. But like I told my wife, I said, since I've been a disciple of Christ, there's only really 2 days that I celebrate during the year. One is thankfulness, Thanksgiving, because biblically we are to be thankful, right, we're to lift up the Lord, and New Year. Because it's a new year, new creation, new vibe, new year, you know, right, new moments of time. So I'm just so thankful. If I want to just kind of highlight a little bit of the thankfulness that I have for the Lord today, I'm just thankful for a lot of the things that he's just been showing me. I'm thankful for the season that I'm in right now. I can thank him from times where I was a child. I'm thankful for even the hardships that I had growing up. You know, I'm thankful for the things that I've seen. Even though I'm not exactly where I want to be, I'm thankful that I am where I am. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that he woke me up this morning. I'm thankful for his word. I'm thankful to be an instrument unto him. I'm thankful to make a pleasing sound out there in my community that he's blessed me to be with here in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm thankful for this KCR radio station. I'm thankful for the host, Robert Gould of Addictive Love. Thankful for you, my brother, and like you said, wise counsel, you know, my wife, you know, family. It's so many things that I'm so thankful for. And like I said, ever since God delivered me from this anger, man, I'm thankful for everything.
Praise
God. I mean, everything I walk into, I see the Lord. Everything I walk into, I see the Holy Spirit shows me where Jesus Christ is dwelling. Everything I'm walking through, I see God's purpose. So I'm thankful. Like I said, you're going to see a new me, new wave, new walk, and a new transparency according to God's biblical scriptures and word. Amen. But once again, we thank everyone for listening to Addictive Love. Be thankful. Shout out right now. Out your road on your window down. Give your kids a hug. Give the wife a kiss. Tell them you're thankful. Tell them you love them. Let somebody know that you're thankful today, and it's Christ Jesus who did it for you through your faith in him. Praise Holy Spirit, have your way. Hallelujah. Pastor Wendell, could you please dismiss us in prayer?
All right.
And we thank you all for listening.
Father God, we thank you, the very God of peace. Sanctify each of us who trust you wholly. And I pray, God, that our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he who promised is faithful, and he will do it. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all.